Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Indulge in an unforgettable evening at Turtle Bay's Chocolate After Dark.
Taking place two separate nights, Thursday, February 5th and Friday, February 6th, from 6 to 9 p.m.
at Turtle Bay Museum in Reading. Enjoy delicious chocolate treats, fine local wines,
live music, and a fun night out. Perfect for date night or a special treat for you and your friends.
This 21 and over event is too sweet to miss and sure to sell out.
Chocolate After Dark at Turtle Bay Museum, February 5th and 6th.
Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
This is Jason in the House.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. I'm Jason Chaffetz. Thanks so much for joining us. Oh, we got a good one. We got a really good one today because we're going to talk to Peter Schweitzer is the president of the Government Accountability Institute. Now, full disclosure, I am associated with them. But Peter does probably the best work in terms of investigative journalism that's out there. And the reason I can feel confident about that number is if you look out over the last 20 years and you look at investigative journalism books sold, Peter is number one, more than Bob Woodward. So that'll give you an idea and a sense of how popular his books have been. And he's got a new one out. It's called The Invisible Coup. And so even though the book just came out, I've already had a chance to read it in advance. And it is absolutely stunning in terms of how mass migration has been used as a weapon by some nefarious players, namely China, Mexico, and Muslim Brotherhood and others, to really affect what goes on in the United States, both politically, both Donald Trump, the Republicans. There's a very concerted effort, and it's backed up with like over 1,000 footnotes or something like that along the way. So we're going to talk to Peter Schweitzer because he wrote this book and it's an important one. And I really think it's important that we look at it. And so we're going to, highlight the news and then we're going to highlight the stupid because guess what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. And we got three good ones for you today. So let's kick things off with a little bit about what's going on in the news. Boy, the news moves fast. So it's like, if you're not doing a radio show where you're broadcasting live, even when you do broadcast live, like earlier I did Brian Kilmeade's radio show. I filled in for Brian. And we're having the show, and meanwhile the president's talking, and you just know that it's like he's already changed the direction of what's going on. Here's, though, I think the takeaway from what happened in Switzerland and Davos and all the discussion about Venezuela and Greenland and yada, yada, yada. One thing that I think is paramount is that the United States is back. Donald Trump has now been in office for 12 months on his second term. If you contrast that to where Joe Biden was when he went to Davos or, at the World Economic Forum, even President Obama, there wasn't much movement. The United States was not the center of the attention. Now, a lot of people, I think, were all worried about Greenland and Greenland this and Greenland that. Is the United States going to take over Greenland? Well, certainly we could. I mean, when they talk about in Greenland that the Danish were protecting with dog sled teams, that's not an exaggeration. That is not an exaggeration. But what happened was Donald Trump he's always negotiating. So many people have not figured that out about Donald Trump. So he's talking about doing this, that, or the other. He's trying to make the world a safer place. And what did the Danes end up doing? Committing billions of dollars to secure Greenland and make sure that the Chinese and Russians and other nefarious actors don't take action so close to the United States in the Western Hemisphere and coming up over our polar ice cap. Now, you think back 4 weeks ago, were we talking about Greenland like this? No. Yeah, a couple of conversations, maybe. It is a place I'd love to go visit. I think it's on a lot of people's bucket list. If nothing else, Donald Trump certainly increased tourism for Greenland. But what happened? The Danes decided to up their ante and spend billions of dollars in safety and security. That hadn't happened before. So from the United States perspective, you got the Danes stepping up to protect their territory to a much larger degree than they had otherwise. So what's wrong with that? You know, I think it ends up being better for the United States. It makes our world more secure. It's good for the Danes to actually do what they're supposed to do. They suck that dry with their the economy and the profits going back to Denmark. And I think that's smart. But here's the bigger, that take it another level up. Donald Trump is trying to become the president of peace. And people say, oh, that's not true. Well, he has helped solve like 8 wars. We got the big one out there, Ukraine and Russia. We got problems in Iran. But if you listen to what happened in Iran, for instance, you know, they were going to slaughter nearly 1,000 people until Donald Trump stepped in and said, no, you're not. If you do that, here's what's going to happen to you. And so they backed off of that. Look, the world is a volatile place. There's no doubt about it. But is it better or worse for us, the United States, to be the world's economic and military superpower? It's by far the best. It's by far better. And the world is a more peaceful place. And like I said, could you imagine if it was Kamala Harris showing up there? Or Joe Biden, for heaven forbid, again? And what did we actually accomplish in some of these others? No. They had all these woke things going on in Davos. You could go to all these tents about climate change, and you could go to these, you know, tents about... Nobody was going to them. They all wanted to hear what President Trump had to say and what he was going to do. And what he was going to do is make the world better economically, militarily, and consequently create more peace. That's the point. He's showing it out on the world stage. And the last point I want to make about this is, when you talk about Cuba, you talk about Venezuela, you talk about Greenland, you talk about whatever, you routinely hear China and Russia. What I don't hear the world and most people say is, gosh, shouldn't we be worried that the Chinese are doing this, that, and the other? Shouldn't we be worried that the Russians are doing this, that, and the other? Because it's not good stuff, folks. They're not out there building, you know, water wells so people have more clean drinking water. They're doing it for very selfish purposes. And if you have a hard time believing the United States is the good guy, or the good person in this equation, then you need to reevaluate where you are in the world. And if you think Russia and China are the optimal and they're doing, then go move there. Go do that. But you know what? I think most of us do recognize that the United States does create freedom, does create prosperity, does institute a rule of law that is the envy of the world. And let's stop putting up with and just tolerating China and Russia running roughshod over the rest of the United States. All right, time to lighten it up. Time to bring on the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. This time I'm going to the U.S. Sun. It's called thesun.com. TSA has issued a warning. Transportation Security Administration, the headline is Schmear Job. Schmear Job. I did pronounce that right. I know it sounds like I'm slurring my words. It's schmear. TSA issues a warning about traveling with bagels. It's all down to the 311 rule. Okay? Here's the thing. The TSA considers the schmear to be a liquid. So guess what? The agency wrote, who likes a plain bagel? If the snack is your everything, it's good to go. Just make sure any cream cheese, not your bagel, is 3.4 ounces or less, and that each container fits within a single quarter size bag per passenger. They're taking this very seriously, people. Listen to them. Make sure your schmear is not too big. Your schmear's too big, you're going to lose that bagel. Didn't want you to lose your bagel. All right. Number two, going to KVUE. This is the ABC affiliate in Michigan. The headline says, from the Associated Press, Michigan drivers hoping to show off their personality license plates may be surprised they won't make the cut. Michigan has now banned more than 30,000 license plates. 30,000! Now, that just goes to the creativity of the American people, and particularly the good people in Michigan, who are coming up with some license plates that maybe don't want to be make the cut. Maybe they're pushing the limits a little bit. But 30,000? Holy cow. I mean, I bet I could come up with 50 that are inappropriate, but 30,000? that's pretty impressive if they have that many that are out there. So, and the last thing that I want to talk about in terms of banging on the stupid, Brooklyn Beckham, what we all learned from a bombshell Instagram post. All right, time out. I can't get past this, okay? It's making all the news. There's a little infighting in the Beckham family. Chaffetz family's been a huge fan of the Beckham family. Just love soccer, love football. The family's been highly entertaining. I hate to see this kind of stuff. If you got family problems, don't want them all playing out in front of the public. I know everybody wants to click on it. It is clickbait. What I'm trying to say is I'm not getting into the nitty-gritty and picking sides because there's no way we all know the truth. And I'm trying to be a little mature on this one. Trying not to peek under the hood and see who's saying what about who's doing something stupid. But, yeah, I don't wish them any ill will in any way, shape, or form. And I do hope they sort it all out. You know what? They seem like a good, decent family. And maybe they're not. I don't know. But I hate to see it played out like that.
More Jason in the House next.
My name is Whitney Allen. I am a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I'm Dr. Howard Levine, director of Cleveland Nasal Sinus and Sleep Center. During cold and flu season, I tell my patients the key to staying well is to pull out germs, mucus, bacteria, and viruses from the nose using the Navage-powered nasal irrigator. I irrigate my own nose daily with Navage to stay healthy and after seeing sick patients.
For drug-free congestion relief, trust number one doctor-recommended Navage, available online or in stores.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 55 and with one of the big three carriers, like Verizon, you may notice they don't talk much about their 55-plus discounts. That's so customers like you keep paying their regular higher rates to boost their bottom line. You deserve better, better service. With 100% U.S.-based experts, better value, with plans starting at $20, and a company that's built for people 50-plus, like me. Not convinced? Give your current carrier a call. Ask about the 55-plus plan you've earned. See how long it takes to get a real person on the line and if they try to talk you out of it. But if you want something better, call Consumer Cellular. We've got the same great coverage, and our U.S.-based experts can get you switched in about 20 minutes. Switch now to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com for your second month free.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Reverend Jesse Jackson made a run for the presidency in 1984. In a speech, he apologized for remarks made referring to New York as, quote, Hymie Town.
If in my high moments I have done some good, shed some light, healed some wounds, if in my low moments, in word, deed, or attitude, through some error of temper, taste, or tone, I've caused anyone discomfort, created pain, that was not my truest self. If there were occasions when my grape turned into a raisin, and my jaw bell lost its resonance, please forgive me. Charge it to my head. And not to my heart.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Superstar Taylor Swift makes the Dean's List for helping a young girl in Florida battling brain cancer. 2-year-old Lila has been fighting stage 4 cancer. Her mom, Caitlin, posted a video of her daughter in the hospital watching a video of Taylor Swift, and you can hear Lila say, "My friend." Miss Swift somehow saw the sweet clip and responded by donating $100,000 to a GoFundMe for Lila and left the comment, "Sending the biggest hug to my friend Lila. Love, Taylor." Caitlin was overwhelmed with gratitude and was in shock after she read the message and saw the donation. She wrote, quote, "I cannot thank you enough. I'm truly in shock. This means we don't have to worry about anything other than Lila. Truly such a blessing. Thank you, Taylor Swift." Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. Waking up too early, if it doesn't come naturally to you, might not be good for your health. The Wall Street Journal reports sleep experts are sounding the alarm about a viral trend of getting up at 5 a.m. The report says a lot of people are not getting the recommended amount of sleep per night, and forcing yourself to wake up too early could lead to some health problems, including sleep deprivation. The report says a person's ideal time to wake up is related to their chronotype. Sleep doctor Michael Bruce says about 55 to 65% of the population falls into the bears category. Those people wake up when the sun rises and are most productive between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. About 15 to 20% are early birds, waking up naturally around 6 or 6:30, and around 15 to 20% are night owls. Sleep experts say getting more hours of shut-eye, sunlight, and limiting caffeine or alcohol could help you get out of bed a little easier. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
All right. Now it's time to bring on Peter Schweitzer, because like I said, he's got an important book, The Invisible Coup, and we want to talk to Peter about what's going on and get a sense for this. And if you were to buy the book, I promise you are going to be so much information about how things work. It really is unbelievable, some of the things that are going on. So let's bring in Peter Schweitzer. All right, so look, I'm just thrilled to be seated with Peter Schweitzer. He's got a new book out, really excited about it. It's called The Invisible Coup. I do work with the Government Accountability Institute, have for years, because what I love about Peter Schweitzer, who's now sitting right here with us, is his passion for oversight and truth and exposing things. And you've had some of the most popular books. How many books do you have out?
I've written something like 20 books. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, a number of New York Times bestsellers and number one books on New York Times. And this book, it really is stunning in terms of what you've been able to find. And that's what I like not only about this book, The Invisible Coup, but also about just the work you do in general, because you're exposing things that are just shocking and yet have been sitting there in many times in plain sight.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Jason. I'm a couple years older than you, but we're pretty similar in age. I mean, when I first started doing this back in the 1990s, the challenge was always lack of information, right? You had to go to some archive somewhere. You had to ask somebody questions. The challenge now, in a way, is almost there's too much information. People get drowned by it. Decision makers are flooded, and they don't really know how to make sense. It's like if you look up at the sky and you're trying to identify a constellation, if there's too many stars, you can't see anything. Right. So what we try to do is focus on those stories that we think are big stories and take our time. So this book, I put out a book every 2 years. The bulk of that 2 years is actually done on the research, not on the writing. And we love it, but yeah, it takes a lot of work, and it's a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, so let's get to the premise here, because you do a really good job, I think, of understanding the history of where we've been, but also where we're going. And there's a lot in there, particularly about Mexico and about China, but it's even bigger and broader than that. But those two in particular in this book are really highlighted. So tell us how you got interested in this, like why you decided to focus on this, and then some of those big items that you can read about in the book.
Well, immigration is such a big issue right now in America, and it really has been, for the last 10 years. And I thought, well, is there anything new to be said here, something that people are missing? You know, we understand the effect it has on jobs and crime and, you know, maybe some cultural issues, but are there other problems associated with mass migration? And what we discovered is that, yeah, actually, there is, and it's massive. It's really about civilizational warfare. You have these competing civilizations, like China's, for example, sees the world very differently than we do, and they actually see mass migration as a weapon to deploy against the United States. Mexico in the same way. Although their techniques and their methods are different, their goal is the same, which is to use our immigration system to massively subvert us, and I would argue to completely undermine us. That's why we titled the book The Invisible Coup. We don't really see that it's going on, but that's exactly what they're trying to do.
And they're pretty explicit about it. I mean, what's amazing to me about the research you've been able to do is you're finding a lot of open source information, but
right.
You're taking the time to translate it. Most of the oversight that I see, if it's not already translated or not already in English, they just kind of bypass it. So one of the concepts that's in there is this new word, at least new to me, was Reconquista.
Right.
Explain to us what that is and why, what the whole premise of what the Mexicans are making this effort to do.
Yeah, this is really strange because when I first heard this term, I thought, well, this is like some fringe theory that some, you know, Chicano radicals in the 70s pushed for. But then I started finding all these quotes, you know, Mexican presidents, Mexican senators, Mexican social leaders, Mexican authors talking about Reconquista. And what it is, it's the reconquest of the American Southwest. So if you go back to the 19th century, of course, there was the U.S.-Mexican War. That war was settled. Mexico ceded territory to the United States. There were some other agreements as well. We kind of look at that as ancient history. The political leadership class in Mexico does not. This is what they believe is that was the downfall of their culture and civilization. So they want it back. And the way they are going to get it back in their mind is through mass migration. In December of 2024, there was a Mexican government report authored by one of Mexico President Sheinbaum's best friends, which said there are now 39 million Mexicans living in the United States. We are reconquering the territory that was taken from us. This is from an actual Mexican government report. And that's their mindset. And there is a effort that they put into it in terms of trying to convert Mexicans that are in the country into a political and strategic access for Mexico to use against the United States.
So there's so much to break down from here because the territory we're talking about is Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California,
Utah,
Nevada,
part of Colorado.
Part of Colorado, Wyoming.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking about essentially the Intermountain West,
right. All
the way out to the ocean there.
Yeah.
They believe is theirs.
Yes.
And they're very explicit about it. Now, talk to us a little bit about President Sheinbaum, because she has ties to the Sinaloas. That's where she's from.
Right.
And if you've been paying attention to anything to deal with narco-terrorism, you can't get very far without mentioning the Sinaloa cartel.
Right.
And the Sinaloa effort there. The ambassador to the United States of America from Mexico is from Sinaloa. The president of the Mexican government is Sinaloan.
Yes.
And she has made a very concerted effort. She does not hide this, that she believes in this Reconquista. In fact, one of the little anecdotes I read in the book was about how she developed a campaign song.
Right. Yes, it's the migrant hymn. She actually had the government write it, and it talks about even though you cross the border and go to the United States, your blood is still the colors of Mexico, and you will be a loyal Mexican. That is the theme of it. She also plays another song in Mexico called We Are More American, which says, you know, the gringos stole from us California, Texas, Arizona, and Utah, and all these states, but we're actually more American than the gringos are. This is not something that they joke about. This is something they think is serious, and they do honestly believe that this sort of demographic reconquest that's taking place, which is irrefutable, is going to lead to a political strategic reconquest. Does it mean that California ceases to be an American state? I don't know. But what it does mean is they will effectively have, and you could argue they may already have, political control in a lot of ways over California because of the demographic muscle and power that they have in that state.
You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Peter Schweitzer right after this.
I'm Tracy, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Reading Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Reading Rancheria. They are an integral part to the success of the Reading Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Charlie Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlie's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has stood for more than just a store. It's all about neighbors helping neighbors, families growing together, and communities thriving. And now, that tradition is here in Reading. From feed and garden supplies to tools and pet essentials, Grange Co-op has what you need. With service you can trust. Visit us today at 55 Lake Boulevard. Grange Co-op, trusted by neighbors since 1934.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Reading Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Reading Bike Park. We just want to thank the Reading Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
for the right price
against the mega corporation Shinra, and also by changing the ending that many gamers knew from the first 1997 version of the game. For survival game, Tarn is proving to be a hit after a free trial. The Game Bakers made game is being noted for its climbing over treacherous terrain in the midst of a storm and its resource-based survival. The simulation allows you to climb anywhere on Mount Tenzin and on release, Mount Kami. Adapt your posture, effort, and balance, and if you're not careful, you will fall. Eamon Dignam, Fox News.
This is Jason in the house.
Yeah, a lot of attention has been given to Minnesota about the Somali population and how politically influential. That pales in comparison to the Mexican effort. The numbers are really quite stunning. If you look at members of Congress, I think there's one stat in there that you have that's just, it really does open your eyes to how much political influence they've been able to instill in the government here in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, what a lot of people may not realize is that when it comes to allocating congressional districts, you know, we have the census every 10 years. They ask people questions, they do estimates. That's not based on U.S. citizens. That's based on anybody that's in the state. So it actually incents states like California to encourage more illegal migration because they get the extra count, the extra congressional seats. The estimates are they have three additional congressional seats in California alone because of illegal immigration. So it's a great political tool for Mexico. And one of the other things we talk about in the book is they have these consulates in the United States. China and the UK have 6 and 7 consulates in the United States. Mexico has 53. And these consulates are not just sort of offering tourist advice. They're actually politically active in the United States. They're supporting candidates. They are funding political campaigns. They are organizing protests. They're organizing riots in the United States. All stuff that you're not supposed to do as a diplomat, but they are aggressively doing so, and they've never been called out on it.
I went and checked this out because when I read the book, I thought, oh, my goodness. So Mexico has roughly 130 million people. We have roughly 340 million. So we have a couple hundred million more people. But the United States in Mexico has one embassy and 9 consulates.
Right.
They have in the United States one embassy and 53 consulates.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how we have just let them roll over and use these as epicenters to get out the vote, organize, fundraise, do political subversion.
Yep.
This is not, hey, we got some Mexicans here and we need to help them. I mean, Oklahoma City? Really?
Right.
Like, I don't know how many Mexican tourists from Chihuahua are coming up north to, you know, hang out in Oklahoma City. But you were actually able to obtain some documents and I believe a video.
Yes. A video of a consulate meeting in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And they, brought in about a dozen other consulate officials from Atlanta, Georgia, from California, from other states. They met in Oklahoma City at the end of May in 2024. And meeting there with Mexican consulate officials were Democrat Party activists. There was not a single Republican activist there. It was all Democratic Party
activists. I
didn't
get that invitation. I missed that one.
Maybe get stuck in your spam folder or something.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
If you look at the transcript of the, it's shocking because the conversation is, a lot of it is about political activism. What are we going to do to stop Trump? And again, these are Mexican diplomats in the United States who are not supposed to be even remotely involved in anything like this, trying to figure out ways to beat Trump, to undermine Republicans. And one of the officials in the transcript says, you know, we turned California from red to blue. We turned Arizona from red to blue, kind of, sort of. And we're going to turn other states. And the Republicans are going to learn that if you F around, you know, you're going to find out what we can do. So it was a political threat. And we know that they've been involved in supporting political candidates, et cetera. So it's a massive problem. It's foreign interference in our campaigns. We should not tolerate it. And I think sometimes we have this impression of kind of you know, it's Mexico. They're kind of hapless. They're incompetent. The government. No. They're actually quite good at what they're doing in this regard, and we should be worried about it.
So if you take the numbers of people, it really affects 13 congressional seats.
Yes.
I mean, that's the stat at least that pops out of this.
Yes.
Is that you probably have a swing of 13 congressional seats just to represent Mexico. But here's the other thing, and this was, I think, one of the more offensive things and the more stunning things, is that there are Mexican senators and Mexican House members,
yep,
just compare apples to apples, whose constituents are in the United States.
Yeah.
And they represent them in the Mexican,
yep,
I don't know if they call it a parliament or whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
Explain that to us.
Yeah, no, they've extended their political sovereignty into the United States, and they've set up a system of what they call migrant elected officials. But these are officials. They sit in the Mexican Chamber of Deputies, their parliament. They sit in the Mexican Senate. They vote on everything. They sit on committees. By the way, a lot of them sit on the Migration Committee. Imagine
that.
But you're right. And so Mexicans in the United States are voting for these elected officials who also live in the United States. And yet, when we had the riots in 2025 in Los Angeles, who was involved in organizing those? Who was involved in cheering those on? These Mexican elected officials that live in the United States. One of them, a Senator Ruiz, she represents Mexicans in Arizona in the Mexican parliament, has called for California to be turned into the 13th Mexican state. She actually wants to introduce legislation to have that done. So I know some people may want that to happen. Good riddance to California. I happen to love California. But no, this is a massive intrusion into our sovereignty. And I don't know anywhere else that this happens in the world or any major power that would allow this to happen. So I think it's time we wake up.
I still remember that video back in 2025, and you had one of the major freeway arteries there, mm-hmm, in Southern California. And you had Border Patrol and ICE and other federal law enforcement, and people were throwing bricks and rocks. They were shutting down the freeways of the protesters.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's listening can remember that, but I vividly remember that. And then to read what you said, which was, that was organized by Mexican government officials.
There's a member of the Mexican parliament who lives in Los Angeles, who I quote him extensively in the book, who was on social media saying, we are part of the permanent resistance, and shows videos of him and other people harassing law enforcement, Hispanic law enforcement officers, saying you're betraying your people, you're betraying your race. It's really, really explicit stuff. And I think it's high time that we confront the Mexican government, maybe close some consulates. But you know, enough of this stuff. You're not going to meddle into our politics anymore. You're not going to extend your sovereignty into our country anymore.
If you're a Mexican government official and you're doing these types of things in the United States, you ought to be kicked out. They ought to revoke their diplomatic immunity. I mean,
yes, 100%.
That's what's crazy, is that these people have diplomatic immunity.
Right.
They know they're impervious to the law enforcement here in the United States, but you can revoke their.
100%. You can kick them out of the country.
It's just absolutely stunning. I want to maybe come back to the whole Mexican Reconquista,
mm-hmm,
because in the book you go into great detail and the history behind it, which I found fascinating. It was a quick, easy read, but
mm-hmm,
it was really interesting to read that history of how we got to this point. But you also have on a big scale, the Chinese,
yeah,
who really do believe, and they think long term, but they really do believe that they can use migration and other tools,
yeah,
and manipulate the law here in the United States and our openness and generosity to the favor of the Chinese government.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, Mexico, as you can imagine, their strategy is a little bit more chaotic, right? People are coming across the border. The Chinese effort is very organized, and they've done it in the past. They did this in Hong Kong. They've done it in other smaller countries, but now they're doing it in the United States. So what are they doing? They are taking advantage of birthright citizenship, the notion that if you happen to be in the United States, and you give birth to a child, that child is now miraculously a U.S. citizen. They have industrialized that on a massive scale. So this is not a case of, you know, a couple of Chinese newlyweds. You know, she's pregnant coming here, and, oh, you know, she's premature.
So how does this work? How does this work? You're pregnant in China?
You're pregnant in China. You hire a
company. Do you get a benefit?
You can hire a company in China, and they're advertised openly. The government encourages this, and these companies in China will say, we will take you to the United States, we will get you a hospital, we will get you a place to stay, you can come and give birth, we'll show you how to lie on your visa application, like in other words, wear loose-fitting clothes so it's not clear that you're pregnant, because you can be denied admission in the United States for that reason, if they think you're going to do that. They've done this on a mass scale, so the way it works is, if you're Chinese and you're pregnant, you want to do this. You come to the United States. A company arranges for you to come here on a visa. They teach you how to lie on the visa application, saying, "I know I'm just a tourist." They tell them to wear loose-fitting clothing. They come into the United States. They give birth in a hospital. As soon as they have that birth certificate for their child, that child is now a U.S. citizen de facto, because all they have to do is show the birth certificate, they're an American citizen. And by the way, that newborn child, when they turn 21, they can get permanent resident status for both of their parents. So you can see where this all leads. And so this is done on a massive industrial scale. And the problem is, we in the United States don't keep any numbers. We have no idea how many people do this. Zero, because we don't keep track of it. But the Chinese have looked into how widespread this is. And by the way, the government pushes this. They've run big articles in government newspapers saying that you have a right to do this, encouraging Chinese nationals to do this in the United States. What basically the Chinese have discovered is that about 100,000 Chinese nationals have been doing this a year for the last 13 years. And these are, by the way, not political dissidents. These are military officers, intelligence officers, members of the Ministry of Propaganda. These are hardcore CCP officials. So what we have is what I call a Manchurian generation. We've got more than a million, I'll put in air quotes, U.S. citizens who were raised in China, grew up in China under the CCP, have parents that are part of the elite, who when they turn 18... they can start to vote. Yeah. They can apply for government jobs. They can apply for other benefits that are due U.S. citizens. It's a massive, massive problem that we're not aware of. And the first wave of these kids turning 18 starts to happen in 2029 and 2030. That's the first crest of this wave.
More Jason in the House next.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. You know, the big wireless companies say they have discounts for people over 55. But unless you're willing to sit on hold and ask, you're probably paying more than you should. At Consumer Cellular, there's nothing to hunt down. We're built for people 50 plus with plans starting at just $20. And our 100% U.S.-based customer service actually answers the phone. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com today and get your second month free for a limited time.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
To get this special radio offer, go to leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/deal for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/deal. See representative for warranty details.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. For more than 10 days, a manhunt for the person responsible for killing an Ohio dentist and his wife gripped the community, and now the woman's ex-husband has been arrested and charged with murder. Police say 39-year-old Monique Tepe and her husband, 37-year-old Spencer Tepe, were shot sometime between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. December 30th in the upstairs of their home in Columbus. Their two kids and Golden Doodle were unharmed. Michael David McKee, a 39-year-old doctor from Chicago, and Monique's ex-husband was arrested over the weekend. The two were married for about 2 years before divorcing in 2017. Almost a week after the Tepes were killed, police released surveillance video showing a person of interest walking down an alley near the couple's home. Columbus investigators say they tracked a vehicle that went to the couple's neighborhood and then Illinois and identified McKee as the owner of the car. Police have yet to identify a motive for the murders. The murders came a month for the Tepes' five-year anniversary. There's more on the story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with host Johnny Knoxville, who I joined on set in Vancouver for Fox's reboot series, Fear Factor, House of Fear. I want to start with you hosting this show because it's so perfect.
It does work because, you know, my previous day job.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came into this, I thought maybe I'm going to be agitating the contestants more to rile them up, but I found myself trying to support them more.
The Face Your Fears reboot has 14 contestants competing for $200,000 and living in one house.
A lot of people are carrying things over that happened in the house into the challenges.
What do you tell the contestants? How do you coach them in terms of overcoming their fears? How do you help them?
It's like when I started coaching my son's baseball team when they're little. They didn't even know how to throw. And at that point, I did not know how to tell them how to throw because it's just something I did. It wasn't great advice. I'm like, just do it.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
There is a belief by the Chinese that they can vote. They can donate, right? So there's going to be a flow of money.
Oh, yeah.
And then presumably get other types of benefits, like eventually Social Security.
Oh, 100%.
And other types of benefits, because this is the problem with dual citizenship.
This is
a real problem.
Well, and it's funny you say that, by the way, because these Chinese companies that offer these services to these families, one of the things they tout is you get a gold card to American social benefits by doing this. So this is part of the scheme, right? Get your kid as a citizen. You'll become a permanent resident. You'll get all these social benefits, government programs, when you go to the United States.
Wow. They also do a lot with surrogacy centers.
Yes. This is really, to me, kind of Orwellian and shocking. And I separate this, obviously, from couples who want to have children who are... What we're talking about here is something very different. We're talking about Chinese nationals, sometimes very high-ranking CCP officials, that donate their sperm and literally will have sometimes dozens of American women who will give birth to their offspring. The women serve as the surrogate for the husband. So you have some senior CCP officials who have dozens of children. Who are U.S. citizens. The Wall Street Journal did a piece on this a couple weeks ago, and it's completely unregulated. Again, we have no idea of the numbers. And if you talk to the people that actually work at these, surrogacy centers, they say that sometimes the father, the parents don't even show up to pick up the kids. Some random third person from China comes and says, all right, I'm here to pick up the baby. And the birth mother has no idea the fate of this child. I mean, it's really horrifying. And again, it's on an industrial scale. We looked at the numbers just in Southern California, and we found that 117 Chinese-owned surrogacy companies just in Southern California offering these kinds of services for Chinese nationals.
I mean, it's just stunning when you go through and you look at the concerted effort and how the Chinese want to be able to manipulate our politics, our elected politics, be able to flow money, flow people, flow votes. and trying to use our own laws against us, something's got to change. I mean, something really has to change.
Yeah.
The other thing that came out that really jumped off the page to me is what they're doing with flight schools.
Yeah.
Because the Chinese military, I mean, they are growing at a rapid pace. We have the best the United States has, bar none, the best military on the face of the planet. I mean, we showed that in Venezuela. We showed that in Iran. We've shown that time and time again. But in terms of sheer quantity, sheer numbers, Chinese are far outbuilding us. They have far more. Their Navy is getting to be increasingly bigger than the United States.
Yeah.
We still have the best technology, we got the best pilots, but as the book highlights, the United States is training the Chinese military.
Yeah,
and it's just so wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we remember 9/11, right? The planes that flew in the World Trade Center.
You would think we remembered that.
Yeah, those terrorists trained at U.S. flight schools. So we started screening people that wanted to come to flight schools in the United States from terror-sponsoring regions and states. That does not include China. And what China has done is they have a capacity problem. They need about 5,000 pilots a year, civilian and military. But the Chinese military restricts airspace so much in China, they can't train them all there. So they train them in the United States.
China's a huge country, and they have that much restricted space. You'd think there'd be something out there.
Yeah, they've complained about this, right? There have been complaints by the military, and the military brass says, no, we want to limit the airspace. We don't want people flying in certain regions, whatever. So they come and train in the United States. So we literally every year train a couple of thousand Chinese pilots.
Peter Schweitzer, congratulations. The Invisible Coup, it's out now. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jason. Great to be with you always.
Wow. Doesn't that just kind of scare the living daylights out of you? This stuff is real. It is happening. It is not theory. It is not some conspiracy theory. It's not some rumor that started on some Facebook page. This is actual documented stuff that's really happening. And you need to be aware of it. Best disinfectant to deal with these types of things is to make sure that it gets all the sunlight that it deserves. And that's what I think the Invisible Coup is all about and why these podcasts are so, I hope you find them illuminating. I would appreciate it if you would subscribe to the podcast and also rate the podcast. Rating the podcast is very helpful to us. Would appreciate that. Want to remind people that if you do subscribe, you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Thanks again for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast. And you can go check out other podcasts over at foxnewspodcast.com. But join us again next week. We'll have another great guest. Look through the archive. We've got a lot of good ones out there as well. Rate it, review it, join us again. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
Trust and Will is not a law firm. It does not provide legal advice, and the online forms it provides are not a substitute for the advice or services of an attorney.
You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention Trust and Will. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/plan to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/plan for 20% off. trustandwill.com/plan.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. House Speaker Mike Johnson says it will be a few days before a government funding package comes up for a vote in the House that all but ensures the partial federal shutdown will drag into the work week. Democrats are demanding changes to what they say rein in the Trump administration's immigration enforcement operations. Johnson tells Fox News Sunday he's relying on help from the president to ensure the package gets through. He said it might be done as early as Tuesday. IndyCar is coming to the streets of the nation's capital this summer. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
President Trump signed an executive order establishing the August 23rd IndyCar race in downtown Washington, D.C. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy told the president the nation's capital has never seen anything like this before.
To think 190 miles an hour down Pennsylvania Avenue, this is going to be wild.
The race is designed to be part of America's 250th birthday celebrations. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act is a proposed law that would require U.S. citizens to provide documentary proof of citizenship, such as a birth certificate or passport, when registering to vote. Pennsylvania Senator Dave McCormick says some people are trying to undermine the integrity of U.S. elections.
Two ways you do that is you basically let illegal immigrants vote because they don't have to prove citizenship, and you let them be counted in the census, which creates seats that go to Democrats. Both, I think, are equally problematic, and that's also why I've supported legislation along with Bill Hagerty to make sure that we require verification in the census that someone's a U.S. citizen.
North and South Carolina have become the two hot spots for growth in the U.S. North Carolina, the top destination for people moving from other states last year, added 84,000 people. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Leslie Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-366-6161. That's 800-366-6161. 800-366-6161.
The U.S. Chargé d'Affaires Laura Dogu has arrived in Caracas to reopen the American diplomatic mission in Venezuela after 7 years of severed ties. The move follows the removal of President Nicolas Maduro by a U.S. military strike. The bomb cyclone that brought heavy snow to parts of the Carolinas and ushered in frigid temperatures to much of the East Coast yesterday is still being felt today. They're slowly beginning to dig out in North Carolina. More than 750 traffic accidents in the states on Saturday alone. Good news is nobody actually was killed. Frigid cold expected to plunge as far south as Florida. Some unheard of temperatures already down there and a few snow flurries. The first standalone trial from state prosecutors in a stream of lawsuits against Facebook getting underway in New Mexico. Jury selection begins tomorrow. This stems from an undercover investigation Facebook accused of not protecting kids. News and analysis at townhall.com. Look at the price of gold. Here's correspondent Ron Taylor.
Gold prices hit new heights early this year, and many have rushed to buy and sell pieces of the precious metal. New York spot gold reached a record over $5,418 per troy ounce Wednesday before tumbling closer to the $5,000 mark Friday. Gold prices can be volatile and unpredictable, but have still grown significantly over the last year. Experts say uncertainty drives these surges, with gold's latest records arriving amid heightened geopolitical tensions and economic concerns. Jewelry sellers are seeing increased demand, though rising costs have caused some sticker shock. Ron Taylor, reporting.
Today is Sunday, February the 1st, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including political commentator Fred Barnes, who is 83 years old. Princess Stephanie of Monaco turns 61 today. TV personality Lauren Conrad has 40 candles on her cake. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey neighbors, have you ever wondered where you can find a store that truly feels like home? Well, look no further. Grange Co-op has been community-focused since 1934, and guess what? We're not just a store, we're owned by customers just like you. Yep, that's right, it's all about community here. So why choose Grange Co-op? When you shop with us, you're not just supporting a store, you're supporting a community. Grange Co-op has what you need for your home, garden, pets, and farm. Grange Co-op, where the values of yesterday meet the needs of today.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Fair's All-Star Panel.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is calling a Monday afternoon phone call with President Trump productive following the fatal shooting in Minneapolis by an ICE agent. In the wake of that call, Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino has left his position as Border Control Commander at Large. Border Czar Tom Holman is now expected to take the lead on the ground in Minneapolis. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt had this to say.
Mr. Holman is doing an exceptional job, and he has been working with Secretary Noem and President Trump over the course of the last year. Secretary Noem still has the utmost confidence and trust of the President of the United States, and she's continuing to oversee the entire Department of Homeland Security and all of the immigration enforcement that's taking place across the whole entire country. Of course, Secretary Noem is also in charge of FEMA, and we are in the wake of a brutal winter storm where hundreds of thousands of Americans have been impacted by that. So Border Czar Holman is in a unique position to drop everything and go to Minnesota to continue having these productive conversations with state and local officials.
As always, lots to discuss this week. Joining me now, host of the Trey Gowdy podcast, Trey Gowdy, Fox News senior political analyst Juan Williams, and our senior White House correspondent, anchor of the Sunday Briefing, Jackie Heinrich. Jackie, let me start with you. Obviously, the pitch in Iowa is more about affordability and how the economy is doing. But hanging over all of this week is obviously the situation in Minnesota. And what's happening inside DHS as far as who's got the upper hand?
It's the story the whole country is talking about. And I think one of the reasons why it has continued to sort of drag on is there's a tacit admission in the president's switch out of the staffing in Minneapolis, sending Tom Holman, pulling Bovino out, and sort of distancing themselves, the White House, from the statements that Kristi Noem and Stephen Miller said. They're doing all of that, but they're not articulating why that had to happen. They don't want to give an inch to the critics and acknowledge that some of the statements that happened in the immediate aftermath of the shooting, calling Alex Preddy an assassin, a domestic terrorist, shouldn't have happened. No one will just sort of call a spade and let the story continue. And I think the dance of trying to articulate why these changes have happened without just noting this was a problem is a little bit harder to execute. And so that's why it's going into day two, three, four. And the other turn here is that the Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Frey, seems to be rejecting the offer from the White House to, they said, look, cooperate with us on criminal illegal aliens, and we will reduce the footprint of federal agents in the region. And Fry put out a tweet saying, we do not and will not enforce federal immigration law. I asked the White House for a statement on that because it looks like basically a rejection of the offer and haven't heard back yet. But a lot of reaction coming in from Democrats over that statement from Fry and how that might be not the best politics for 2028 for Dems either.
Yeah, Trey, here's the issue. I mean, we can go down this investigation and we can go down the shooting and what people see about what happened and didn't happen. And clearly, there are a lot of people who look at that and say it shouldn't have happened, either from the shooter or from the person with the gun, Preddy, and you can go down all those roads, and that investigation continues. But the bottom line here is that now we think that local and state authorities are going to work with ICE. At least that's what was signaled. But the big question is, are they going to let illegal immigrants who are in jails arrested for crimes and give them over to ICE or not?
You know, Brett, I would think, I mean, I cannot believe that is Mayor Fry's position. That would be an 80-20 issue. That would be overwhelmingly bipartisan to get rid of violent offenders who are unlawfully in this country. So for Democrats to have an advantage like they have with this video and to squander it by saying, no, we won't just accept Tom Homan, who was a local cop who worked under President Obama. We want to go back to the days where we ignore federal immigration law. He is blowing a political opportunity here. And I hate to put it that way because two people have lost their lives in Renee Good and Alex Preddy. But the politics of it is this is a wonderful opportunity for Democrats who've been underwater on immigration. He will blow it if he keeps that position of protecting criminal aliens.
Yeah, and Juan, it is an 80-20 issue if you phrase it that way. Now, if you phrase it about, you know, the tactics being used by ICE and if other people get rounded up with that, but if you strictly ask about taking criminal illegal immigrants off the streets, it is 80-20. The other question is about the political side of this. If Democrats are blocking, and it does go to another government shutdown, we saw the last one at 43 days, and they're blocking DHS funding because they're going to say, we're not giving money to ICE. Meanwhile, ICE has been already funded through 2029, and the money you would be taking away is for basically TSA or FEMA. That could backfire, too.
Yeah, I mean, in the short run, just the fact that, you know, we're in the midst of some rough weather here, especially in the Northeast, and things like the airports and FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency Administration, they could all be impacted. So there would be some potential blowback for the Democrats. But let me offer a different perspective in my colleagues and say that, first, the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, wrote in the Wall Street Journal that in no case, and I'm just quoting what the man said here. He said, in no case has the Minnesota Department of Corrections refused to release anybody to ICE. He said, quote, yet that lie persists. So, you know, if what he's saying is true, if what he wrote in black and white in the Wall Street Journal is true, he's saying that, you know, this is something that's being foisted as a phony argument by the administration to detract from what I think is the real issue. I think it's the real reason that everybody in the country is talking about it, is that you've seen videotape taken on these cell phones that are omnipresent of people who look like they were unjustly executed by ICE. So what you get here is a situation where, you know, coming back to something Jackie touched on, everybody around is talking about it, not just people like the four of us who are so into politics, but you get sort of people who have a low proclivity to pick up a paper or listen, and they are talking about what's going on in Minnesota. And I think that's very difficult for the Trump administration. I suspect that their attitude is, if we have pulled Greg Bovino, that's a sign that we're trying to de-escalate. And I think that for them, it's very important to say that they are taking a step. They're not going to, like, try to please their antagonist on the left, but they want to be clear to the independents, especially as you go towards those midterms, that they understand that there have been some problems here.
Yeah, 100%. And you can see that in how President Trump put Holman on the ground, how he says Holman will report directly to him. You know, and Holman obviously is the guy who, as we've noted, was received an award from President Obama and was lauded for his efforts in immigration enforcement during the Obama years. Jackie, it's, you know, as they're trying to turn the page and talk about other things, it seems pretty impossible because this story is kind of overwhelming a lot of the oxygen.
Yeah, I don't see it ending anytime soon. In part because you've got this government funding deadline coming up. You also, and I think this might be a trickier issue for members of Congress, have a budding effort in the House to impeach Kristi Noem. And I think, you know, vulnerable Republicans might be put in a position where that's a hard thing to try to defend, even if you don't want to, you know, go against the president right ahead of a primary election season or whatever it is. A number of these people, even in safer districts, had voiced some, you know, uneasiness with the statements that she put out. And we are starting to see also the blame game begin. There was an Axios report that what she said actually came from Stephen Miller. And, you know, you wonder where that reporting comes from and who wants it out. But I think the story is going to continue, certainly because Congress wants it to continue, both as it pertains to the funding fight and also this Noem impeachment situation. But to Juan's point, and this is another thing I think Democrats need to keep in mind, Tim Walz is being a little too cute by half with his statement there. And yes, you know, the prisons honor ICE detainers. They transfer convicted criminal aliens after they serve their sentence. But the sanctuary city fights are over people that are in county and city jails.
Being held, and they have an ICE detainer.
And they have an ICE detainer. Even California, as our own Bill Malusian pointed out, even California's prisons honor ICE detainers, the same type that that Walz is referencing. But that's not to suggest that there isn't a single person that ICE doesn't want, or that ICE wants in Minnesota that they can't get their hands on. That's just not true. And I think that they have to figure out, the leadership in that state, how they're going to respond to this White House offer, which is still on the table. Look, you know, give us the bad guys that we want, and we will reduce the footprint here, the federal agents. The surge will go away. This could be very easy. And I think they haven't figured out the answer to that yet either. And I don't think that they know what their base wants from them, because a lot of Democrats believe that, you know, the base wants them to just keep fighting Trump. But immigration, you know, the last election was won on immigration, too. So this is going to be a hard nut for them to crack as well.
We'll be back with more of my All-Star panel right after this.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. If you're over 55 and with one of the big three carriers, like Verizon, you may notice they don't talk much about their 55-plus discounts. That's so customers like you keep paying their regular higher rates to boost their bottom line. You deserve better, better service, with 100% U.S.-based experts, better value, with plans starting at $20, and a company that's built for people 50-plus, like me. Not convinced? Give your current carrier a call. Ask about the 55-plus plan you've earned. See how long it takes to get a real person on the line, and if they try to talk you out of it. But if you want something better, call Consumer Cellular. We've got the same great coverage, and our U.S.-based experts can get you switched in about 20 minutes. Switch now to Consumer Cellular and get your second month free for a limited time. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com for your second month free.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
My name is Whitney Allen. I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought in a million years we'd have to use life insurance. The unexpected happened. With Ethos, it is so fast and easy. It's 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage through Ethos.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required. I'm Dr. Howard Levine, director of Cleveland Nasal Sinus and Sleep Center. During cold and flu season, I tell my patients the key to staying well is to pull out germs, mucus, bacteria, and viruses from the nose using the Navage-powered nasal irrigator. I irrigate my own nose daily with Navage to stay healthy and after seeing sick patients.
For drug-free congestion relief, trust number one doctor-recommended Navage. Available online or in stores.
Fox on Tech.
Parents can now set a short time for short videos. There are changes at YouTube aimed at giving parents a better handle over what their kids watch, and that includes setting time limits for things like YouTube Shorts, the short-running and auto-scrolling videos that compete with TikToks.
Well, we talked to parents, and we heard, you know, three things. Parents want more control, they want the high-quality content, and they want the sign-up process to be easier. And so that's what we really did.
Dr. Garth Graham is head of YouTube's Global Health. YouTube only grants accounts to the regular service to people 13 years old or older. Under 13 gets a YouTube Kids account. The changes now coming will make it simpler for parents to set up a supervised teen account in which they can better program restrictions on what their teens can watch. As for YouTube Shorts, parents can limit the time to zero to stop all the scrolling. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A man on Long Island, New York is accused of lying in wait at his estranged wife's home before killing her with a lethal cyanide mix that seared her lungs. Prosecutors in Nassau County, New York say 53-year-old Asif Qureshi busted into his former home after his estranged wife, Alina, left to drop the couple's kids off at school on October 17th. When she returned, they say he jumped from the shadows and suffocated her by putting a rag soaked in cyanide to her mouth, searing her lungs as she took her last breaths. The prosecutors then says Qureshi left her body out for the children to discover. The couple's 17-year-old daughter received a phone call that afternoon telling her her mother never picked up her little sister from school, sending cops to the family home. Police tied Qureshi to the scene thanks to surveillance video, and he was arrested October 23rd. Last week, he pleaded not guilty to the murder. He'll be back in court February 18th. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1971. Charles Manson.
It came about by not having a family, by being born without a father. I'm on the wrong side of the law the minute I was born, and I stand strong inside of it.
The district attorney's office and I personally and the Los Angeles Police Department are all exceedingly happy with this verdict. We expected the verdict, but until that clerk reads the verdict, you never know.
I think the public's reaction has been, we did need to know this information. We had a right to know it.
Jim was buried in a simple ceremony with only a few friends present because those of us who knew him intimately wanted to avoid all the notoriety and circus-like atmosphere that surrounded the deaths of such other rock personalities.
I'd just like to say before we start off with the concert that to thank you all for coming here.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. The Bread Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Bread Bear's All-Star Panel.
Ben, I always caution people that we're still in January. We have a long, long way to go to November. And for all the people like James Carville and others who say this is going to be a blowout, Democrats are going to win everything, there's a lot of time. There's Q1, Q2.
Yeah. there is a lot of time, and I think that this is not – we've seen such a shift in the American political makeup in terms of the voting base that Republicans depend on and Democrats depend on. And it's a shift that I think we're still figuring out in terms of the way it's going to play out going forward. And keep in mind, this is the first, you know, election that we really have where, you know, the Trump presidency is locked in, but this is kind of about the future. What does that look like? And
You know, the other thing that I think we should keep in mind is that I'm not sure that the immigration issue and that the ICE issue plays exactly the way that national figures are necessarily assuming that it does. The very first act that Abigail Spanberger did when she took over the governorship here in Virginia was to reverse Glenn Youngkin's executive order requiring that state police work with ICE when it comes to arresting and deporting illegal immigrants with criminal records.
That's like the part of the deal.
Yeah, she got plaudits for that, obviously, from all the normal sources. So what happens when something inevitably happens with someone who is an illegal immigrant with a criminal record and that becomes a news story? This is not the kind of situation where those consequences don't matter. There is a reason that you see those poll numbers that you mentioned, Brett. And I just do not believe that that this is as much of a one-sided issue as the national media seems to continue to frame it. Now, that being said, I do think that Republicans need to focus on their priorities and not take their eye off the ball, and they shouldn't give in to some kind of idea that they can't be talking about the things that Americans are talking about and concerned about going forward. I think that's one of the reasons the president emphasized so much the movement on gas prices that we're seeing, that he is leaning as much as he possibly can into silver linings in the economy that he wants Republicans to be talking more about, as opposed to getting caught up in normal Washington mishigas. And that's going to be critical, I think, if they're going to buck historical trends.
Yeah. Richard, you know, what happens if, and I've heard this a couple of times from the president saying he doesn't want to go after the hardworking farm workers who are just doing their job. And in an interview with the New York Times, he said, well, if Democrats come up with something good, I could consider something. What happens if, in the State of the Union address, the president says anybody who's been here since before 2020 and has been a part of the community or paying taxes, we're going to get you a pathway to citizenship, and we're going to do the Dreamers because I closed the border? What happens if he does that? Does it change the whole dynamic for Democrats?
I think he has a problem. He has a problem with Josh Hawley in the United States Senate, but I'm a guessing man. But I do think that he will have support from Democrats to do that, because in a way, what the president has done by closing the border is he's fundamentally taken a large chunk of the immigration issue off the table for Democrats.
Yeah.
Democrats can just focus on ICE enforcement, and talk about that and not talk about the border, which they don't want to talk about anyway. And I think coupled to that, I think where I think time works against this president in this moment is we're now living in an era where we're seeing higher than normal healthcare premiums. And I think it's a story that we're not covering as well as we should. But those 15,000 nurses that are striking in New York City for higher wages, as we see Medicaid cuts that will likely start to sort of bear fruit this time next year, that's going to be the same in a lot of other hospitals across the country, and a lot of red states as well. And so I think the Republicans are going to have to figure out how they want to talk about health care. And I think health care will be a bigger issue in this midterm election than the immigration issue will, as more and more folks will be dealing with their new health care bills and the closure of hospitals across the country.
Yeah. Chad, the purpose of me asking that question is that there are a number of long ball moves that could come that change the dynamic immensely.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's where, you know, I always talk about events. It's not me talking about this. This was Harold Macmillan, who's the British Prime Minister. You've heard me use this quote before. Events are the most important factor in politics. We don't know what's going to happen in Iran. We don't know, you know, what the response to the markets might fully be on the tariff question. We don't know what might happen in Venezuela. We don't know the Greenland issue. If the president is that determined on this, and maybe the Europeans push back. There are so many different factors between now and the midterms. You don't know if Republicans in Congress can pass another mega bill. They're talking about something to deal with, quote, affordability. They don't have great numbers right now in the House of Representatives, certainly, to move something. They would probably have to use the special budget process, reconciliation, to go around a filibuster in the Senate. You know, they've done that a couple of times already this Congress, and that is an absolute slog in the Senate. It's one thing maybe to get it done before the end of the Congress. It's another thing to get it done before the midterms, maybe get it done in August or something, and especially because they're talking about health care, which is the radioactive issue on Capitol Hill that everybody always talks about and they can never solve. Do they get any bang for their buck even doing that? You know, Republicans have said that it's been a little bit hard to market the big, beautiful bill. And, you know, some people have said maybe they should just focus on marketing that and not putting their nose to the grindstone. And don't forget, about 5 weeks before the midterms, what do they have to do again? Fund the government. To heck with this funding deadline here at the end of the month. You know, we could be in another crisis there, depending on which way is the political winds blow.
Always fun, guys. Thank you very much.
Boy from Oklahoma who captured the hearts of Yankee fans the world over from 1951 to 1968 and helped win 7 World Series titles. On March 1st, 1969, Mickey Mantle announced his retirement from baseball.
To think that the Yankees are retiring my number 7 with numbers 3, 4, and 5 tops off everything that I could ever wish for. I've often wondered how a man who knew he was going to die to stand here and say that he was the luckiest man in the world. But now I think I know how Lou Gehrig felt. It's been a great honor. I'll never forget it. God bless you all, and thank you very much.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the Audio Archives of Fox News Talk.
History isn't just in textbooks. It's the story of us, the United States. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And throughout the year, Bill Hemmer takes listeners on a journey through the 250 most impactful moments in American history. From the spark of revolution to the battles for freedom. The ideas, inventions, and decisions that changed the world. The 250 most impactful moments in American history podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhan.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
5 questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
Fox News Books has boasted a host of bestsellers. Now, Fox News Books enters the world of podcasting. This season, the Fox News Books podcast presents The Miracles Among Us. For its first season, Fox News Books will present this special podcast brought to you by the author, Fox News senior medical analyst, Dr. Mark Siegel. The Miracles Among Us on the Fox News Books podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1983. President Ronald Reagan.
While they preach the supremacy of the state, declare its omnipotence over individual man, and predict its eventual domination of all peoples on the earth, they are the focus of evil in the modern world.
To ignore the great majority of the American public who enjoys rock music is just pure stupidity.
We had a good deploy, and the sunshield's closing now. We'll be with you in a minute.
That's great, Sally.
Our immediate challenge to this atrocity is to ensure that we make the skies safer and that we seek just compensation for the families of those who were killed.
Never again should a black or Hispanic or woman or Jew, because of race, religion, or sex, be limited or inhibited as we grow. The aristocracy is not the limit. The sky is the limit. Our time has come.
News as it happens then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
Stay
saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Budgeting can often be nerve-wracking, but it doesn't have to be with help on the way through budgeting apps. There are many to choose from depending on your lifestyle, and the good thing is not all will cost you. There are several things to consider when you're looking for a good budgeting app, like flexibility to customize your budget based on various factors like income and account syncing. You may prefer to track transactions manually, or maybe you want real-time tracking. User experience. Are you okay with ads or credit card offers or categories that can't be personalized? And cost. Some budget apps are free, while others you might have to pay for extra features. Some budgeting apps include Rocket Money, which is free, but you'll have to pay each month for premium features. And Mint, which is an all-in-one app allowing you to connect your bank accounts, watch your income, and track your spending. Or the Simplify app. However, it will cost you, but there's a 30-day free trial. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
We now return to the Brett Baer Show.
I do not want to hear that everything's been done here has been perfect. Nothing's ever perfect. And President Trump and I, along with others in the administration, have recognized that certain improvements could and should be made.
Tom Holman's taken his marching orders from the president, and what I understood and the reason that I believe there's an opportunity for something to do here, because just to be very clear, what the White House wants is for these scenes on the streets to stop.
Governor Tim Walz and the Border Czar Tom Holman. Joining us to talk about that and other things, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, his new book, Where We Keep the Light, Stories from a Life of Service, is out right now. Governor, welcome back to Special Report.
Good to be with you. Thanks, Fred.
I want to ask you about the ICE situation, what's happening in Minnesota and across the country. You said earlier this week that you are preparing for at least the possibility of a large-scale ICE surge operation coming to Pennsylvania. You would think about it. In that case, do you support state and local authorities cooperating with ICE on their job?
We're not a sanctuary state in Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia is a sanctuary city, but
we're not a sanctuary state. And I do believe in law enforcement collaboration at all levels, local, state, and federal. But I also believe that all of your partners need to be working together on a mission that is constitutional, working together on a mission that reduces crime, that brings law and order to a community, and that protects people's constitutional rights. And respectfully, that's not what I'm seeing in Minnesota. So I'm happy to work with my partners at every level to create more safety, to build more trust. In Pennsylvania, I made a pledge to hire 2,000 more police officers. I think we're about 1,900. We'll actually eclipse that 2,000 number. We've invested hundreds of millions of dollars in violence prevention. Violent crime is down 13%. Fatal gun violence is down 43%.
When you ask people, though,
what we're doing is working.
Taking criminal illegal immigrants off the street, would you honor ICE detainers? If you're not willing to hold someone longer than in a jail for ICE, what about a phone call that gives ICE the heads up that you're releasing that person? That's where a lot of the pushback is coming.
We want our communities to be safe, and we work with our federal partners where appropriate. As an example, if we have a violent criminal who's about to leave one of our jails, we do collaborate and communicate with our federal partners. We want our communities to be safe.
So that's the problem with sanctuary cities and sanctuary states.
We're not a sanctuary state.
I know you're not. But do you think that Governor Walz and Mayor Fry are doing the right thing?
I'm not going to pine on other governors. I can tell you what I do in Pennsylvania. We work together to reduce crime. That is what we've accomplished.
So Pennsylvania, to your point, is not a sanctuary state, but Philadelphia is a sanctuary city. How do you address some of the strident, some people even say dangerous rhetoric coming from people within your own party in the state? In particular, Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner, who said this in front of Philadelphia City Hall yesterday.
This is a small bunch of wannabe Nazis. That's what they are. In a country of 350 million, we outnumber them. If we have to hunt you down the way they hunted down Nazis for decades, we will find your identities. We will find you. We will achieve justice.
It makes some people really uncomfortable. They look at that and say an elected official is dehumanizing law enforcement and could lead to someone getting really hurt. What's your take on that?
That kind of rhetoric is unacceptable. It is abhorrent and it is wrong. Period. Hard stop. End of sentence. I think what we need, and I've called for this in Minnesota, and I practice this in Pennsylvania, is we need to bring down the rhetoric, bring down the temperature, and create calm in the community. I believe that the president's policies have injected chaos onto the streets of Minnesota. I've been very outspoken about that. You may disagree with that statement, but I believe that to be true. I think we have seen that. What we are trying to do in Pennsylvania is bring down the temperature, and rhetoric like that is
not
helpful.
And in your book, you do write about it. There is a part on shared humanity. I've learned over and over again in my public and private life to be open to people of all different faiths and backgrounds, to fill your cup, to fill you up, and to understand our shared and common humanity, despite our differences. At our cores, our values are the same. Our humanity is shared, and it's always there if we choose to see it. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
In the same breath, Governor, you said to NBC about J.D. Vance, you said the fact that J.D. Vance, the vice president, couldn't bring himself to acknowledging that 6 million Jews were killed by Hitler and by the Nazis speaks volumes. It's not a surprise to me, however, given the way in which he has openly supported the AfD party, given the way he's openly embraced neo-Nazis and neo-Nazi political parties, given the way in which he has offered comfort, really, to the anti-Semites on the right who are infecting the Republican Party. I mean, essentially, you're calling J.D. Vance a neo-Nazi or anti-Semite.
Well, I'm not essentially calling him anything. I'm saying what I said, and I stand by that. Look,
but how do those two quotes match up, the book excerpt and what you said to NBC?
Because I believe anti-Semitism is a problem on the political left, Brett, and on the political right. And I think leaders need to speak and act with moral clarity and need to call it out. I just called it out on someone on the political left. I would like to see the Vice President of the United States do the same. He should not allow for a Nick Fuentes or a Tucker Carlson or others who are promoting anti-Semitic views to be platformed. And my view is that he is seeking some short-term political gain by not criticizing them. And in the long run, I believe that makes our country less
you
safe.
You were mad that it seemed like he didn't say Jews. He said, today we remember the millions of lives lost during the Holocaust, the millions of stories of individual bravery and heroism, one of the enduring lessons of one of the darkest chapters in human history, that while humans create beautiful things and are full of compassion, we're also capable of unspeakable brutality, and we promise never again to go down the darkest path. That's what you're responding to in NBC, and that's what you said.
I was offering a statement, not about a tweet, but of what I see as a track record. And to me, anti-Semitism is a problem in this country. You've spoken about it on your show. I'm sitting here telling you I believe it to be a problem on both sides of the political line. I'm not pointing fingers at one side or the other.
My point is the rhetoric. If you're going to say the rhetoric is high and you want to moderate it and take it down, and then you say that to NBC about the Vice President of the United States, I don't know. Does it match up?
It sure does. I'm not attacking an individual personally the way you see coming from this administration, both the president and the vice president. I am pointing out that anti-Semitism is a problem, and I want to see the vice president of the United States do better.
Where do you think the future of your party is as you look forward? And you may have aspirations. You've told me that you're not ready to say what those are yet.
I'm running for re-election as governor of Pennsylvania.
That's what I figured you'd say. But where do you think your party is? And what are the warning signs that you see for Democrats?
I see a party with a lot of really capable leaders. Here in the Congress of the United States, I happen to think governors, I think very highly of governors. We've got some extraordinary governors around the country. You've reported on this show many times, the president said many times, he won all 7 swing states. He did. 6 of the 7 are governed by Democratic governors. Governors who, like me, try and play between the 40s and get stuff done, good schools for their kids, safe communities, economic opportunity, an affordable neighborhood to live in. And I believe we're a party that stands up for people's rights and freedoms at a time where where this administration here in Washington is eroding people's rights and freedoms. And so to me, I think there are a number of Democrats who are leading the way on that. There is not a singular leader in the Democratic Party the way there is, obviously, in the Republican Party in Donald Trump. And that's okay. I think there's a lot of talent across the board.
You're pretty critical of Kamala Harris in the book and how you were treated in this process. You think she's running for president?
I have no idea. It's a question for her. And actually, I thought complimentary of her in the book in the sense that when we had our conversation together, it was a direct and honest conversation, which I appreciated that. And it allowed me to make the decision that I did not want to be a part of that ticket. I was going to go out and work hard for it and do everything I could to ensure that Governor Walz and Vice President Harris won the election. I worked very hard to do that, as you well know, and you document it. But I appreciate the candor. I was candid back with her, and I wrote about that as one small part of a larger book.
Governor, we appreciate the time.
Thank you, Brett.
We'll be back with more of my all-star panel right after this.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Listen closely. If your retirement funds include an IRA or 401k, this matters right now. The stock market is at an all-time high. The dollar is under pressure. Interest rates are heading down. And leading economists are warning that the global financial system is changing. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 right now to get your free gold investment guide, valued at $49, plus your free copy of economist Ken Rogoff's book, Our Dollar, Your Problem. Investors across America are turning to gold and silver with Advantage Gold. Right now, silver is flashing a signal you can't ignore. Silver prices have been rising sharply, and history shows when silver moves, it can move fast. Learn more before this window closes. Call 800-900-8000 right now to get your free precious metals rollover kit. Find out about a tax and penalty-free rollover in 2026. Gold and silver can surge when the economy shifts, and they don't wait for permission. Results may vary. Consult your financial advisor before investing. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. You know, the big wireless companies say they have discounts for people over 55, but unless you're willing to sit on hold and ask, you're probably paying more than you should. At Consumer Cellular, there's nothing to hunt down. We're built for people 50 plus with plans starting at just $20. And our 100% U.S.-based customer service actually answers the phone. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com today and get your second month free for a limited time.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
From around the world,
Trey Hingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington.
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If the story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News. History isn't just in textbooks. It's the story of us, the United States. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And throughout the year, Bill Hemmer takes listeners on a journey through the 250 most impactful moments in American history. From the spark of revolution to the battles for freedom. The ideas, inventions, and decisions that changed the world. The 250 most impactful moments in American history podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron-Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhan.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Sue, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
Bread Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Bread Bear's All-Star Panel.
Welcome back to the All-Star Panel. We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
Donald Trump's approval rating is underwater, including as it relates to the economy.
The United States of America, with its $30 trillion economy, grow in the 6% range, and no one thought that was possible.
We're going to be announcing the head of the Fed. If we make the right choice, you know, a lot of times you make a choice, you think it's good, and it turns out to be not good. But with the help of the Fed, we could hit numbers that have never been hit before.
President Trump, in his cabinet meeting, focusing a lot on the U.S. economy, did not hear from the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, did not take questions. A little bit different cabinet hearing than we've seen before. The Fox News polls, the new ones, out, what should President Trump's top priorities be? And you see there, overwhelmingly, economy, jobs, inflation, prices, obviously some adamant Democrats there on resign and quit. Unite the Country gets 8%. Let's bring in our panel. Fox News political analyst Reince Priebus, we welcome on board. Fox News senior political analyst Juan Williams and Politico White House Bureau Chief Dasha Burns. Dasha, was there a signal in who spoke and the focus?
Well, you know the president knows how to put on a show, and he's often pretty deliberate with this kind of thing. Look, there's a lot of frustration among Republicans, both on the Hill and in the White House, that immigration has gone from this huge asset for President Trump and for the GOP to now potentially a liability. And a lot of people are putting that at the feet of DHS Secretary Kristi Noem and Stephen Miller. You saw him send Tom Homan in this week, and a couple of sources told me that that is not a vote of confidence in Kristi Noem.
Reince, this funding back and forth, we're up against another partial government shutdown. Here is some of the fight back and forth on Capitol Hill.
Democrats are ready to pass 5 bipartisan funding bills in the Senate, but the DHS bill still needs a lot of work. We'll rein in ICE and end the violence.
The Karen wing of the Democratic Party is in control, and Senator Schumer and his colleagues have got to worship at that altar. What they want to do is defund ICE.
I mean, it is a standoff. They say they might have a temporary solution here, but the House has to come back to pass it. So we could be facing the shutdown anyway.
Yeah, we could, but I highly doubt it. I think that to what you and Dasha were talking about, I think the president was very pleased with what he saw in Tom Homan. And I think it was pretty strategic. I mean, he let the immigration issue sit, you know, aside, let Tom Homan's press conference play itself out.
Hold the day.
And I think the president gets it. I mean, there are sometimes when legal limits meet political limits. And I think the president gets it. I don't think he wants to see a shutdown, certainly not a big fight over DHS. I think they're going to find a way to get it done.
Juan, you agree?
I think so. I think what you heard was 2 weeks. So that they have a deal, basically, that will allow them to approve the 5 funding packages and then have the House really affirm it on Monday when they get back. That's the deal. And part of that deal, then, is that there would be serious consideration for reforming ICE during that 2-week period, or then we're back to this moment again. So what you saw from Tom Homan, I thought, was really interesting in that Homan said he had good meetings with Minnesota officials. And you know that Governor Walz has said they don't defy ICE when it comes to getting prisoners out of the state. Then the question,
state prisons, not the city and
right.
Local
so then the question
jails.
Was about city and county jails.
Right.
And what you heard from Jacob Frey, the mayor, who got a big reception here at the U.S. Conference of Mayors, is that, oh, no, the city jails cooperate with ICE. And then you heard from Keith Ellison, the AG, and he said, well, we've told the counties they don't have to cooperate, but we should notify. So it's this kind of back and forth.
I know, but it is a walk back of where they have been. I asked the Pennsylvania governor about this, Josh Shapiro. Take a listen.
We do collaborate and communicate with our federal partners. We want our communities to be safe.
But so what's the problem with sanctuary cities and sanctuary states?
We're not a sanctuary state.
I know you're not. But do you think that Governor Walz and Mayor Frey are doing the right thing?
I'm not going to pine on other governors. I can tell you what I do in Pennsylvania. We work together to reduce crime. That is what we've accomplished.
There are 12 states, and there are a number of cities that are sanctuary. They're having a harder and harder time, Dasha, defending that action.
Yeah, and I was struck by how forcefully Shapiro condemned the comments from Philadelphia's Larry Krasner when he was calling on people to hunt down ICE officials. I mean, there is a real divide within the Democratic Party of how to handle the issue of immigration, and I'm seeing more and more folks trend towards the Shapiro line of, like, look, immigration is a problem. Where it gets dicey is when we start going after for people that aren't criminals, that's where the American people kind of splinter as well.
What did you take from that Shapiro interview?
Well, you know,
he's running for president.
well, we're writing a book, and then, you know, he smirked when you asked him what he was doing.
You tried, Brett. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what I took. He tried very hard to shut the door of the past in his party without accepting the present of the current situation. He's trying to walk a fine line. The problem is, when you run in a primary, it's very difficult to find a plurality of reasonable voters within your own party. I mean, that is a very difficult place to be. It's going to be very tricky for him to do it. But I do agree with what you said. I mean, the problem with this whole immigration debate is it starts with lawlessness at the border. Then it's lawlessness in these sanctuary cities, lawlessness in our streets. And you saw in Tom Holman, the key to me was that he focused on the issue, which is criminal, illegal immigrants. He focused on the 97% issue that most people in this country agree with, and this has now been the theme all day.
And by the way, with this funding fight, I mean, it's night and day between the last government shutdown where no one was talking across party lines. Here you've got the White House Republicans and Democrats all actually having conversations.
Because they realized 43 days of a government shutdown didn't work for anybody.
That's right.
No. It really didn't. Do you think that Kristi Noem is trying to save her job?
She's got it.
Do you think it's in jeopardy?
It is. That's what I'm saying to you. It's in jeopardy, and it's in big jeopardy. You know, when you send Tom Holman, and Tom Holman has some problems with Kristi Noem, one of the things that he said is he's not there for photo ops. Boy, talk about a shot at Kristi Noem, who's known for photo ops.
One thing I'm going to say, there's a few rules of Trump world which makes him so special as a president. Number one, he listens to a chorus. Number two, he puts opposites around him. And number three, he's accessible to everybody. That's what he likes to do. That's the way he likes to govern. I don't think she's going anywhere.
Well, I think that he doesn't want to give the critics the satisfaction of seeing him fire her. But the fact is, the pressure is on. And what you saw from Holman was pretty much a statement that he's doing business differently. One quick note on the interview. I think that you're seeing Democrats. He said to you, Brett, he said, the seven states, the swing states governed by Democrats. He's coming across as a problem solver. That's what he wants. That's what his pitch is. Rahm Emanuel, Pritzker, Whitmer. That's what they're pitching.
Yeah, but they go down into the partisan jabs, too, when I read that thing that he told NBC about J.D. Vance. I mean, it was kind of pointed.
Well, and there's this fine line between being a fighter and then falling into those partisan lines, but also trying to be a moderate. I mean, I think it's difficult for folks in both parties right now.
It is. It's going to be fascinating to watch. It's the beginning of 2028. Thanks, guys.
Listen carefully. This isn't noise. It's not hype. Silver is moving. And when silver moves, it moves quickly and without warning. Smart investors already know this. Most people don't until it's too late. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 to get your free gold and silver rollover kit of $49 value just for calling. History is clear. When the gold to silver ratio tightens, silver doesn't creep higher. It explodes, often outperforming gold by multiples. Right now, most Americans remain dramatically underallocated to precious metals. yields, even as central banks around the world are aggressively increasing their gold reserves. History shows precious metals have performed best when interest rates move lower while inflation stays above target. You don't need perfect timing. You need to be in position before the move finishes. Call 800-900-8000 now. Find out about a tax and penalty-free rollover in 2026. Results may vary. Consult your financial advisor before investing. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Attention veterans. Did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.